This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Time now for the nationally syndicated radio show, The World of Lori Zook. And now, here she is, the smart, the sexy, the savvy, Divine Miss C.
And welcome to the show. I've got a great show lined up today. I have a special guest. Her name is Sheila. She's joining me today live in studio. And we're going to be talking about the religious and non-religious aspects of Islam. And this is something we've both been reading up on quite a bit because you hear everything in the media. And I think a lot of it is very confusing to people. And so we're going to try and cut through some of the stuff. It's our opinions. We don't, you know, it's what we think, in other words. But I want to welcome first Sheila to the show. And let's just kind of jump right in, Sheila. I mean, things are going wacky in this world.
Thank you.
Yeah, you've got, they are. You've got all the you know, presidential contenders running. Everybody's got their different opinion. Then they switch their opinion to a different side based upon what's happening.
Yes.
Now we've had the incident happening in Belgium. So what do you think?
Oh, my goodness. It's such a loaded question because there's just so much. I mean, people are entitled to their own opinions, but they're not entitled to their own facts. And the facts, when you really start to dig into this and you look at the facts, first of all, you can't go to the mainstream media to get the facts because they will share with you what they want you to know and want you to lead you to draw certain conclusions. And in many instances, news reports are really editorials. And they misrepresent.
Yeah, their opinions.
They interject their own opinions. They assume that the American consumer can't draw conclusions for themselves, and so therefore they have to implant their own. And that's distressing because, again, that's their opinion. They're entitled to their opinion. Let's just leave the facts and let us figure it out for ourselves. So when you really start to dig into the facts, you know, you want to go to the who, what, where, when, why, and how the heck is this happening? And, you know, it has always been a crazy world. It's always been a crazy world. And we've had this great thing going on here in the United States. And we had this great thing, and it was created by a bunch of our forefathers that said, you know, we're going to do something different. We're going to have really a government that's driven by the people and with the Constitution. And that just set the world on fire initially.
Right.
But then somehow we've either loafed our way or something has happened. We social loafed our way back into an oligarchy. And
we went backwards instead of forwards.
Well, to what, you know, the oligarchies, I mean, you had, you know, the King of England and basically that ruling class. So here we are again. Okay. And we have this ruling class. This is what they've always wanted all along, you know, is to have this ruling class. And they have certain directives. And I have, of course, my opinions, but I'd rather look at the facts because you get enough, people are getting enough opinions, but what they're not getting enough of are the facts. So I'd really like to start and talk about facts.
Sure.
And I think initially you got to know, okay, so who's the who? All right, well, let's talk about the refugee. Okay, so according to a UN, we don't even get to define who is a refugee in this country. Furthermore, we don't even get to choose who we consider, by our definition, are refugees. That is done by a guy by the name of, I'm sure I'm mispronouncing this, Filippo Grandi. And he is the, if you ever hear UNHCR, that means the UN Human, what is it? Human Council or Rights, something of that nature. Anyways, he just took the office. And of course, the U.S. is the number one financial contributor to the U.N. and his office. So, but he doesn't owe us anything. He's an unelected official.
Okay.
So he can lie to our face and say things like in Chicago, he delivered a speech in front of a bunch of their definition of refugees. And we'll get to that in a minute. And he says things like, well, where he met the refugees, U.S. lawmakers, resettlement agency. So there he is in front of everybody. Resettlement addresses the needs of the most vulnerable and its safest way to move people from one country to another. Refugees flee terror. They don't bring terror to countries. Their arrival is very carefully vetted, so there should be no fear. Again, this statement is in direct contradiction to, let's bring in a couple of the other players. We have our FBI director, James Comey, who is paid by us to protect us, and then our head of Homeland Security, Jay Johnson. Now, they both say, look, you have somebody coming in. They say their name is Jane Smith. They say they're from Iraq. Well, since Iraq is a failed state, what database am I going to go to? How do I even know that they're Jane Smith?
There's no way to track them, in other words, because they're not being fingerprinted. There's no facial, you know, no photos for facial recognition. So in essence, what's happening is we're letting people in and we have no clue who they are. And what I find disturbing when I listen to, you know, the presidential candidates, and I agree with Trump, and now Cruz, of course, is saying the same thing. Stop. Don't let in strangers. You know, like little kids learn stranger danger, you know. Little kids, if it's a stranger, they know not to deal with them.
Well,
and then, you know, you have people saying racist, right? This is about security issues here. And that's what I find really disturbing. Then you have the Democrats will say, oh, let them all in. That's what America was based on. Well, you didn't have all these psychopathic people that are trained to grow up as suicide bombers or to kill other people. And now you look at what just happened in Belgium. And by the way, I don't know if you heard, but something happened in Turkey a few days beforehand.
Yes, I did.
We didn't really hear about on the media. So the media is very selective about what they're feeding us, so to speak.
Well, and you also have to consider the source. Okay, we have Ergin out in Turkey now, and that country has swung back to a more, I mean, they were the Ottoman Empire, and they were responsible, the Ottoman Empire was responsible. Even the Pope had said, well, really, that was the first, with the Armenians, that was the first genocide. And then, it went from there. And, of course, Hitler had strong ties with, the Middle Eastern countries. So this is characteristic, okay, because, you know, this is a strategy. You brought up something that's very important, the strategy of name-calling. Well, you know, you can call me names, but that does not, that's your opinion. That does not wish away the facts. And that's just
right.
Your way of leapfrogging over my legitimate concerns, because by calling me a name and hoping that it sticks, whether it's a bigot or a racist or whatever, and hoping that it sticks, then who cares what I have to say? And this will dismiss my legitimate concerns about people coming into this country whom our own FBI director, our own head of Homeland Security, have said there it is impossible to vet them. When you look at the gal who married that young man in San Bernardino, she was supposedly vetted. And I think it's funny because they come up with this SAFE Act. And the SAFE Act, if you really read it, it says, well, they'll be robustly vetted. You can't robustly vet somebody. There is no archives for
right.
them. No matter
you can't
what
track
you
them because there's no history.
Right. And then when they look at these people, they do DNA tests and they find that these people that are carrying what looks like a legitimate Syrian passport are really not from Syria at all. They're from Pakistan. They're from Afghanistan. There's people that have said, well, you know, you look at them and you think, oh, well, this, you know, Mr. and Mrs. and these are the children.
Right.
You do a DNA test and they claim that they're a family, but there's no familial ties. And you're going, wait, you know, so they can lie.
You can't tell. And I don't remember what country, but I remember reading somewhere recently that ISIS somehow got a hold of passport making.
Syria.
Got passport making, the devices to make passports, in other words. And so now they can make these official passports because they're official because they stole the equipment and people can enter our country. And so I have a hard time with people who say, go ahead and let them in. I grew up in the New York metro area. You know, I live not far from New York City. My family's in New York City. That September 11th was probably the worst day in my life to think about trying to find my family when all the phones were knocked out. There were stories that the public did not hear. I had a friend that worked her husband worked actually as an executive with Port Authority of New York and New Jersey. And so one morning on Good Day New York on Fox TV, the anchorman mentioned the story about how on, I think it was the Whitestone Bridge, there were two construction workers, but they weren't dressed like construction workers, but they were climbing the bridge. And so after that little tidbit on the news, you never heard another word, not on any station whatsoever. Now, my family being in New York, I called my friend. I said, what's going on? And what had happened was there were two more terrorists with a bomb. This is shortly after 9/11, and they were able to take these people into custody. But interesting that the media never brought that topic up. It was just that one little thing. So if people out there are listening and you're thinking that we know everything that makes the news, I don't think we know 10% of what's actually going on.
I would have to agree. I mean, look what happened. Let's talk about San Bernardino, something that's
right,
pretty fresh in everybody's mind. When the witnesses were interviewed, they said there were three people. Where's the third guy?
He disappeared. We don't know.
And we haven't heard anything. Not only that, but no, who's following up on the third guy?
Right. But see, what I see is if the ACLU would be freaking out if we said, hey, we're going to fingerprint everybody coming in. Well, first off, they're not citizens. They're not from our country. They're illegal aliens or refugees. And so I read, I think this morning, that Sweden was deporting 80,000 of these refugees. Because if you've been reading what's going on in Sweden, even the police are afraid of what's going on. So women are getting raped in Sweden and nothing is happening at all.
Well,
and they're going to kick them out.
Well, you know, to have to say refugee, I can almost guarantee that less than a quarter of these people are in my definition or any definition, even the UN definition. Let's go back to the UN definition of refugee. It says here, a refugee is owing to a well-founded fear of being persecuted for reasons of race, religion, nationality, membership of a particular social group, or potential opinion, is unable or unwilling to avail himself of the protection of that country. Well, if you're a refugee and you get that status as per the UN and you leave and you go to, say, a country like Finland, and, well, you know, you find it a little cold there. And so you return to Baghdad and you kiss the ground. That's not my definition of a refugee. And yet that's what's happening.
Yep.
We're having these people that and if you continue to read that article, I want to say it was in World Net Daily. If you continue to read that article, it went on to say that, no, maybe it was Baby, I don't know.
That's right.
But there was a man that was a Muslim man who apparently has a booming business selling tickets to for people going back to the Middle East. So, you know.
There's always someone that makes a dime.
And Finland is actually paying them to go back because there's no more room for them.
It's becoming out of control.
And they're complaining, you know, it's too cold here. And then when you look at, okay, the jungle. The jungle is nicknamed to a place in Calais, France. The border for England, it's a long historical story, but the border for England is actually in Calais, okay? And this is in France. And so just before you go into the tunnel, they had this camp there. And there was over, I don't know, they said, the official documents say there was 1,500, but unofficially there was closer to 3,000 people. Now, these were all so-called UN refugees. Now, they're safe in France. There's nobody persecuting them there. However, they prefer to go to England. Why? Because England has a better welfare unemployment packages.
Oh my gosh.
Than they have in France. And they were attacking truck drivers that were going into the tunnel. They were causing all kinds of problems until finally a French judge raised the camp. It's gone now.
Yep.
Or it's in the process.
I'm going to ask you to hold your thoughts just for a moment. We're going to go to a quick commercial break and we'll be back in just a moment.
Central Payment, your number one credit card merchant service provider in the industry. Providing e-commerce solutions, POS systems, standalone terminals, mobile apps, and much more, call Central Payment's James Carner at 813-777-4332. Looking for the lowest rates in the industry and number one customer service? Call Central Payment's James Carner at 813-777-4332. That's James Carner, 813-777-4332.
you suffer from back, neck, or body pain? Do you suffer from migraines or have jaw or face pain? Has conventional medicine failed you? Were you injured or in an accident? Call chiropractic physician Dr. Dan Maddock at 813-935-1664. Dr. Dan has helped thousands of patients gain relief for more than 30 years. Dr. Dan is caring, gentle, and takes his time with each patient. He's also a past president of the International Craniopathic Society, a special certification of only 300 chiropractors worldwide. Dr. Dan helps patients from the neck up and the neck down. Dr. Dan accepts most insurance plans. Don't continue to live in pain. Call 813-935-1664. Today. That's 813-935-1664, and get on track to better health.
And welcome back to the World of Glory's Look. I'm here with Sheila in studio. And
thank you.
So, you know, we've been talking about the refugees, but Sheila, there's a big difference between migrants and refugees. Why don't you talk about that?
Well, we've just heard the UN definition of a refugee, and I have no problem in saying that a majority of these people are not refugees. They don't even fit in the UN definition of refugees. Because when you can say, well, I prefer to go to England because it has a better, you know, unemployment package, or I'm leaving Finland to go back to Baghdad, where you have pictures of them kissing the ground,
right?
Because you know, well, it was just a little too cold. That's a migration. The reason why they use the word refugees because it invokes this compassion within us, and it's meant to do that. When in actuality, the real definition of these people are migrants, and that's a choice. You make a choice to leave, like, because if you're really truly fleeing terror, it doesn't matter how cold it is. Now you can say, well, it's cold, but I'm safe. So these people just wanted, they heard these great stories, like the smugglers. They heard these great stories of how wonderful it is. There was a really great article about in The Guardian, written by Timothy Gartnash. And the guy says to, hey, why come to Germany and not Italy? I asked Jawad, a skinny 16-year-old from Afghanistan, standing outside his family's blanket tent, 6 square meters of home, at an emergency refugee reception center in an East Berlin sports hall. 6 months ago, he spoke no German, but now he replies without hesitation. Italy has no money.
Right.
Short and to the point. So
they're right. It's not really refugee, but the choice of words, you know, migrant and refugee.
Oh, very, very important. Very important, because here's what's happening. Okay, so we're going back to the players here, and we've talked about, okay, we have this guy, Filippo Grandi, who is an unelected official, yet he gets to choose who comes into our country. Now, we spend a lot of money on this, and then we have nine federally funded contractors. And like, for instance, the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, what does that conjure in your mind?
Hebrews immigrating.
Well, okay, but they're not. They're most of these so-called refugees, and that's just the tip of the iceberg, because if you look at the whole grid of who's coming in, you know, there's these 98 to 99% of them are Muslim. And so there aren't any other people fleeing? I mean, isn't there, you know, what about Christians? They're getting beheaded, and yet why aren't they in the numbers? And yet this Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society are bringing in, they're traditionally an arch enemy of Islam, but yet here they are. They're one of the nine federal contractors. They made $135 million
last year.
And this is taxpayer money. Okay, so here we are. The taxpayer is paying the UN. He's keeping this Philippa guy in unelected official. The head of the Hebrew Immigration Aid Society and all their employees are given taxpayer money. They're unelected, so they have no accountability. Now, they're paid per person. So the more so-called refugees and the more people they can get classified as a refugee,
the more money they make.
The more taxpayer money. And right here in our little neck of the woods is the Lutheran Immigration Resettlement Services, LIRS, if you ever see that. Since Obama took office, they have been paid $297 million over. And now their office, there's going to be a call to action here, because I'm going to give you their address. And I think if anybody wants to have more information. These people are spending taxpayer dollars, and they should be accountable. And we should be writing them letters and saying, "What are you doing? What? Why?"
We don't even help our own veterans, and that's even. I know you don't help your own people, but you're helping all these other people for what? World peace? It's never going to happen. Although we'd like to think it's going to happen, it's not.
It won't.
So we're not taking care of our own people first. And why don't you give that address? And then I know Lee has a comment. So.
All right. So write letters to 3641 West Waters Avenue, Tampa, Florida 33614, and make them accountable for where your tax dollars are going. Because what happens when you look at the flow of money is that they bring these people in. They're paid per head to bring these people in. This is supposedly a charity, okay? And their 90% of their budget is coming from taxpayer dollars. So it's really, you know, they're
not
really
a charity.
They're just an independent contractor for the federal government so that, again, they don't have to be accountable, right?
We're in the wrong business.
Exactly.
You know?
And you look at the CEO of the Lutheran Immigration Resettlement Services. Well, she makes $228,000 a year. And really, all she does is basically a human smuggler because she brings these people in. She tells them how great it is. She finds them a place to live. Yes, they do have a stipend, but they have to repay the charity for a portion of their airfare. Then what happens is that 91% of these people that come in are welfare users. They're heavily dependent upon the social services, which is a state-given,
right?
Okay, state-funded, if you will. So basically, they take all the money. They have no accountability, and then they say, "Oh well, they're self-sufficient." By identifying self-sufficiency as being on welfare and all the other food stamps and all the public assistance, they wash their hands of them and say, "Well, they were fully vetted." Well, and you want to say to them, "Well, if this is a good letter to ask, well, if they're so fully vetted, why don't you take responsibility for them? And if they rape somebody or if they kill somebody, if they somebody, then you will be paying the legal bills, okay? And you will also pay for their time in imprisonment because and you know, their rehabilitation, whatever it's going to take, because you're the ones that have said that they're so well vetted. You're the ones that have said that they're such upstanding citizens and therefore you can deposit them into our communities." And that's what's crazy is even governors are writing the administration saying we don't want them because
they want to stop them.
Yeah, because ultimately the bill comes to the state and the government is saying, well, you know,
we'll pass it off to you and you handle it. And that's bizarre. Now I want to jump to Lee because Lee had a comment or a question.
Well, I've been following what's going on in Europe, and you know, I just want to say there's a reason for national borders, and you know, the Quran and these Muslims who believe in the Quran basically says, you know, if you don't, you know, believe in Allah and follow the Quran lock, stock, and barrel, you know, you deserve to die. So these people are just, you know, coming in the border and running amok in many cases. I noticed, I guess a month or two ago in Sweden, you know, their women now are being told to don't go out at night because women are being, you know, raped on the street by these Muslim immigrants. And Finland has taken a stand, like you said, I think. And in some cases, the locals are like burning down the refugee houses, which, you know, I can't say I blame them. I mean, not with the people in them necessarily, but, you know, hey, that's where they're giving the refugees asylum. Let's burn it down or shelter or whatever. Yeah, because I mean, it's just absolutely insane. And a friend of mine has predicted this. This is going to happen in America. And I was maybe reading this a year or two ago. I said, "Wow, that's pretty crazy." And lo and behold, it's happening in Europe. And
right.
So I think to finish off is I think we're seeing a preview in Europe of what's going to happen here.
Right.
And so. We got to do something about this, or we're going to have the same types of problems that they're having in Europe. And guess what? They're going to have police protection and everything. There won't be a thing you could do about it.
Right.
That's my take.
And our government's trying to get rid of gun laws so that people who are who are, you know, not crazy, just the normal people, won't be able to get guns.
We'll be helpless.
And to defend themselves, and that makes it, I think, much worse. You know, but I want to talk a little bit about, because we're talking about Muslims, but you know, like Muslim is not just a religion, it's an ideology. It is their entire life, as opposed to other religions where it's a religion. So, you know, I'm sure that there are Muslims that are good people and that, you know, are not maybe very religious. They're secular, you know. But then you have the ones, and it's a fairly large percentage, and you can read anywhere from, I've read from 10% to 50%, so who really knows the truth? But I think we're talking about the ones that really become radicalized. And so, you know, you watch these videos on YouTube, for example, of young children indoctrinated into it when they're like 4 years old. 4 years old, they're learning to cut off. I saw one with a knife cutting off the head of a teddy bear. You know, they ISIS shows these pictures. So we're talking about those types of Muslim people. But the problem is, you can't differentiate what the difference is when they're coming into the country, or even the ones that are already here. And I think that's an even bigger issue, because we know that ISIS is already here. And like Lee said, we're seeing in the preview, and that's what's going to happen. And if you don't think that the 9/11 and the original time the World Trade Center was bombed, you know, that was two times, and what happened, you know, almost with the White House and the Pentagon, I get chills thinking about it, because you got to wake up people and see. When someone like Donald Trump says we need to close the borders at least temporarily, use the whole quote there. Don't just extract the portion of it that you want, news media. He's doing it for security reason, not necessarily a religious reason, because you cannot distinguish people. Go ahead, Jill. You got something.
Well, you know, there was just so much of what you've said I can respond to, but this is really a twofold discussion. There's a one side, the discussion that has nothing to do with religion, and then there's the discussion that has everything to do with the religion. So I'm trying to focus more on the non-religious aspects of you know, Islam because when they're, you cannot have America under Islam. The forefathers could not have been Islamic.
It contradicts the Constitution.
Well, first of all, you can't even criticize Islam. You're not even allowed to criticize Islam, which is why we've seen our administration not say extreme Islam. They haven't even used those words together, because that is a violation of their theocracy. And you look at all their countries, they aren't democracies, they're theocracies. And interestingly enough, they're taking zero refugees. So, and they are more closely related. 98% of the people that are leaving and coming here as migrants are Sunni. Well, so is Saudi Arabia. So is Qatar.
They're not taking them.
So is Kuwait. They have taken exactly zero.
Right. They're sending the problems here. Hold your thought. We're going to do a quick commercial break. All right. Back in a moment.
Do you miss that old school sound that made radio great? Let me invite you to preview Philharmonic's Jack of All Trades at philharmonicblues.com, a collection of Americana blues available as a download for $7.99. You can sample each track on the album page and try before you buy. Philharmonic, Jack of All Trades at philharmonicblues.com. That's philharmonicblues.com.
Early in the evening, right on through the morning, too.
Central Payment, your number one credit card merchant service provider in the industry. Providing e-commerce solutions, POS systems, standalone terminals, mobile apps, and much more, call Central Payment's James Carner at 813-777-4332. Looking for the lowest rates in the industry and number one customer service? Call Central Payment's James Carner at 813-777-4332. That's James Carner, 813-777-4332.
Here we are back in the world of Lori Zook, and we've been talking about religious and non-religious aspects of Islam. So it can kind of be confusing. So I'm going to let you kind of pick it up, Sheila, you know, with the not necessarily the refugees. We were talking about the difference between refugees and migrants. So pick up on that.
Yeah,
for me.
Let's call them what they are. They're migrants. And so these migrants are coming in. They're hearing about all the wonderful goodie packages there are in the welfare. So again, like our friend here, Jawad, who said, yeah, I'm coming to Germany because there's more money. He's not here to start a business. He's not here to, you know,
free welfare.
That's right. He's here because he's heard all these wonderful stories about how great it is. Now, predominantly the culture that's coming in is Islamic. And you know what? Yeah, sure. Most of them are very peaceful. But when you look at the fact that only 1% for now, just a shade under 1% of the American population would identify themselves as Islamic, well, they're responsible for 50% of the violent deaths. And when you look at one young man in America, second generation Somali migrant, who got radicalized and blew himself up and took 29 people. So, you know, where do you draw the line there? There were plenty of peaceful Germans who didn't stand in the way of Hitler, who thought, well, you know what, if he can make our lives better and we don't have to bring a wheelbarrow full of cash to buy a loaf of bread, you know, let's see what he can do. And they didn't do anything, but they were peaceful.
Well, you know, most people, though, are followers. They're not leaders, and they go with the mass. And, you know, you could go back through the Bible. I know you've studied that a lot, where people go, even the Jews, they go in the wrong direction. They go the opposite way of where they should be going. And so you've got the media, which scares me. This is why I can't watch the news on TV, because I've come to the conclusion that it's strictly entertainment value. Yes. And what kind of ratings.
Yes.
There's no news. There used to actually be news on many years ago.
Go to different countries to see your news.
BBC. BBC yes, will give you a more realistic perception of what's going on, but also from the perspective of people not in this country, because the problem is we do have terrible leaders, and we do pay these taxes to support everybody else except for our own people who really need it, and I find that disturbing. One of the things I did want to mention, though, because we're talking religious and non-religious,
right.
On the religious side,
yes.
In the Quran, which I have read the translation, and I know you can sometimes lose something
yes.
in the translation,
yes.
but basically it says, kill all infidels,
yes.
kill the Christians and the Jews.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So where I have a difficult time is if you say that you're a Muslim, how do you say I'm a Muslim, but I'm not going to kill the infidels and I'm not going to kill the Christians and the Jews and I love everybody? And how come you don't hear the leaders of the mosques that supposedly are not radicalized? Why don't you hear their leaders coming together saying, hey, we're not going to stand for this anymore because it's making the rest of us.
It's defaming Allah. How can you defame Allah that way, right? How come they're not sticking up for their own faith and saying, well, if it's truly as peaceful as they claim it to be, how come they're not how come they're not in front of Iran or any of these other embassies and picketing them, saying,
right.
you know, we're standing up for Allah because you're misrepresenting Allah or whatever the case may be? Well, the fact of the matter is because that's not the case. And, you know, again, going back, if you look and you find people that were converted from Islam to Christianity, many people will tell you, well, I if I converted from Christianity to Islam, nobody would want to take my life. But because I converted from Islam to Christianity, I've gotten death threats. And they will say, Islam leaves rivers of blood. And if you look, and those are their quotes. That's what they say to me, not what I have said. This is,
right.
I am repeating what they have said. And if you go to any one of them who actually have studied and have been introduced to Christ and have had a chance to have a choice between which prophet they follow, well, hey, Christ is, you know, you can't beat Christ for, you know, because he's
right.
everything. And especially compared to Muhammad, who was really someone to follow Muhammad. Well, he took a 9-year-old wife. Okay. He had plenty of blood on his hands. And they say what happens afterwards has more precedent than what came before. Well, if you track Muhammad's life, you see that as he got older, he was more violent. He went from more of a peaceful man. And even Muhammad himself says, I don't know what's going to happen to me one way or another. I'm just a warner. That's what he said. That's
right.
His words. I'm just a warner.
It's basically a creative religion what I see. It's a creative religion, but it's one, you know, you have Muslims who will say, oh, it's of peace, but that's not what's in the Quran. And that's where I have the problem. And then how do you you know, the people that choose the lifestyle, how do you differentiate them from the ones who are radicalized? And to me, radicalized, it doesn't matter what religion you are. If you're radicalized, you are a sociopath or a psychopath. You are going totally in the wrong direction, the direction of hell. And there are people that will say, hell on earth, this is hell. We're in hell, you know, but I'm disturbed by what people do and how they follow, and they don't think for themselves. So, you know, it's funny, on Facebook, I don't put out many postings about religion, because what happens when I do is, it might not be my opinion, it might just be an article that I've read. All of the Democratic liberal friends I have up north will come back with these statements like, oh, let them all in, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. But I sit here and I go, people attack me, and you know what the worst part is? They didn't do their due diligence, because every night I'm on my iPad for 2 hours when I don't sleep, and I am reading all about the presidential contenders and all about Islam and the, you know, Muslims and Sharia law, which we haven't even gotten to. And I sit here and I go, people really, they don't do due diligence. They watch a couple of news shows and they think they're an expert on it. I'm by no means an expert on it, but I do study it just like you do, because that's what's happening to this country. And you're right, what's happening in Europe is going to happen here, and it will probably happen in our lifetime. But what's worse is it'll happen in the children's lifetime. What's it going to be like then?
And we paid for it. We paid for it through unelected officials. Whatever happened to separation of church and state? Why are these so-called churches taking our taxpayer dollars, and they have more control where these people are going and spending more of our taxpayer dollars than the even elected governors or the elected officials of those states? How did that even happen?
But when you say churches, remember, it's just like when people say businesses. It's the people who run the churches, and it's the people who run the businesses that make those decisions to do that.
Where can you go to a service with these Lutheran resettlement? They call it a church. It's a shell organization that is a clearinghouse for human trafficking,
which you and I are paying for.
That we are paying for, because there's, to my mind, there's no difference when you see that young boy who's drowned, and why did his family come this way? Because they thought that they would find the Shangri-La, you know, the El Dorado. And so then that's why they came. But if we really told them, hey, you want to go to Michigan? Well, you know, don't drink the water.
Really. That part's true. That part's true. But, you know, you got the governors of different states trying to say to the federal government, stop. We don't want more.
I know. And
we're in Florida. I mean, we already have immigrants coming in from other countries.
We haven't even finished talking about this joke of the vetting business, because okay, let's go back to that. Well, these countries don't have the same laws that we have, and because they're predominantly Islamic, many of the laws that pertain particularly to the woman, and whatever's happening to women is being magnified threefold onto the children. Okay, so when you look at a guy by the name, this Green Beret guy, just a wonderful guy, Martland. He is a Green Beret, Charles Martland, Green Beret, serving in Afghanistan. He hears a young boy who has been chained to the bed for the last 7 days being raped by the superior of an Afghan officer. And he was told, don't do anything. This is their country. These are their laws. So this is after the Afghan police commander admitted to repeatedly raping a little boy after chaining him to a bed for 7 days. He was brought on base for questioning by this Charles Martland by Army Special Forces. When the commander laughed about his atrocities, in addition to beating the boy's mother when she tried to intervene and stop him from assaulting her son, he got roughed up. Now, First Class Charles Martland, a Green Beret with 11 years of outstanding Army service, is being kicked out of the military as a result of doing the right thing.
Oh, my gosh.
So here they're saying, well, this is their country. These are their laws. So this man, if he was vetted in Afghanistan, well, he, according to our laws, he's a pedophile. I mean, throw him away. You can't cure pedophilia. So, you know, they throw him away. He beat the mother, assault. Rape, you name it. And if he killed the kid, probably it wouldn't even be a crime. So even if he was vetted, well, he would come out shiny clean, because this is their culture. You look in Pakistan, they have a law that if the girl in the river, the price of forgiveness, that won the Academy Award, is about this young woman, both her father and her uncle when they went to take her from whom she wanted to marry, she fell in love with a guy that at first her dad said it was okay, but the uncle intervened and said, you know, they're not up to snuff. We shouldn't let her marry. She should marry one of my brother-in-laws. So they went to the house because she ran away thinking that her father wouldn't allow her to marry this young man. And they swore on the Quran to her that they would not hurt her. What did they do immediately after getting her in the car? They take her to the side of the river. They beat her up. Spoiler alert. They beat her up and they shoot her. Okay. But she lived.
Wow.
Now, in Pakistan, the law on the books is called an honor killing. The law on the books is if all the other relatives say forgive the person who commits the honor killing, actually murder, then they won't charge him. Well, the main person that they've harmed, the victim, is dead. Okay, so that person can't ask them. The women aren't. They are actually dependents of the male relatives. So they will say, even in the documentary, the father says, well, my wife, because they asked him, well, what about your wife? How did she feel about you trying to kill your daughter? Oh, well, what can she say? She's my wife. She can't say anything.
Because the women are property.
They are property.
And their value is nothing.
Well, if this man wanted to come as a refugee to our country, well, he'd be welcome because, you know,
and
he doesn't have it. Yeah.
That's right. All right. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be back in a moment. I want to cover Sharia law.
Do you suffer from back, neck, or body pain? Do you suffer from migraines or have jaw or face pain? Has conventional medicine failed you? Were you injured or in an accident? Call chiropractic physician Dr. Dan Maddock at 813-935-1664. Dr. Dan has helped thousands of patients gain relief for more than 30 years. Dr. Dan is caring, gentle, and takes his time with each patient. He's also a past president of the International Craniopathic Society, a special certification of only 300 chiropractors worldwide. Dr. Dan helps patients from the neck up and the neck down. Dr. Dan accepts most insurance plans. Don't continue to live in pain. Call 813-935-1664 today. That's 813-935-1664 and get on track to better health.
Do you miss that old school sound that made radio great? Let me invite you to preview Philharmonic's Jack of All Trades at philharmonicblues.com. A collection of Americana blues available as a download for $7.99. You can sample each track on the album page and try before you buy. Philharmonic, Jack of All Trades at philharmonicblues.com. That's philharmonicblues.com.
Early in the evening, right on through the morning dew.
Welcome back here in the world of Lori's Look. Thank you, Sheila, for being my guest. We've got one more segment to go. Thanks. And so, you know, we're talking about all this, and it makes me think, of course, of Sharia law. Why don't you explain what Sharia law is?
So now we're transitioning from, you know, the practical, the money, the fact that we have unelected officials saying where our taxpayer money is going, and we don't have any control over that. So now we're entering into the more religious aspect of the discussion, which some people just don't understand, but it is worth discussing because many people will say, well, you know, Islam is a peaceful religion. Well, okay, I would beg to differ. Even many people that were raised in the religion will come out and tell you that's not the case. Their prophet spilled blood, so they're trying to emulate their prophet, and so why wouldn't they follow in his footsteps? Sharia law is very repressive towards women.
Women are sold into sex slavery in Islamic
states. And that's perfectly okay.
Yeah, right?
That's perfectly okay. Well, even just this commander we talked about who was raping this little boy. And don't forget, the Nuremberg trials were about about when the German soldiers' defense was, well, I was ordered to do so. Well, the Nuremberg trials were based on the Christian principles and the Bible. That's what sent many of these Nazis to jail. So in their religion, we have no standing as far as women have no standing. So if they feel that we're not properly dressed, if our, you know, who knows, maybe we're our footwa is fuckwad or whatever, then that's an open invitation for them to fondle us, rape us. And that is doubly depressing because when President Obama took office, there were 8 diseases classified as inadmissible that anybody, whether you're a refugee, migrant, whomever, could not enter this country to protect the citizens of this country. Well, in 2009, the administration removed HIV and AIDS from the list. So when you take this culture that doesn't see women even as having rights at all, and then now coming March 28th, he has announced he's removing cancroid, gramula, I'm sure I'm mispronouncing, basically 3 other sexually transmitted diseases from the list. So as of March 28th, these people now will be able to come into the country that were not admissible before. And these are very prominent STDs in the third world where these so-called migrants are coming from. So here we have this, faith base where women have no rights. And I mean, they can't even be responsible for their own erections. Otherwise, why do their women have to run around in tents? I mean, you have Sweden, right, where you have culture where they bathe naked. And those women, they were fine right up until the point where the Muslims came in. And then
and started
now,
raping them in the pools.
That's right. Because as far as
they're concerned, they can't control themselves. And that there's something wrong right there.
Well, they don't have to. According to their religion, they don't have to. It's up to us. And even if you do get accused, if you do want to accuse somebody of rape, you have to have 5 witnesses. So the chances of you actually ever getting the accusation, because it's not something you do in public, you know.
It's slim to none. But what's even more disconcerting is here, we don't take care of our own first. So I know in Irving, Texas, there was a mayor who stopped the Sharia law court. Dearborn, Michigan has a lot of Muslims. And so what's happening is Sharia courts are, they're already here. They're already in the United States.
Yes. Yeah.
I think London had like 85 of them. London is in the same situation that we are. They're saying, wait, it violates what our laws say.
Yes.
And so the Muslims, some of them are choosing to go to Sharia court, which does oppress women, which does hurt women. And so that's violating our constitution because we're all supposed to be created equal, right? I mean,
yes,
we're all supposed to have equal rights
Absolutely.
To the law.
Yes.
So I'm disturbed by
that. But what kind of administration would say, well, the HIV is now admissible. These 3 sexually trans diseases are admissible. Who is he looking out for?
I don't know, but you have a president who claims he's not Muslim when almost everybody who's polled believes that he is. No one believes he's really a Christian, or a very small percentage. And he can never say Islam, if you've noticed that. He can't say radicalized
Islam.
Well,
because that's against the religion. You
exactly.
cannot criticize the religion. And that in of itself raises red flags, because when you compare the Christianity to Islam, Christianity says, look, God gave you a brain, use it, ask the questions. Doubt is actually a healthy part of the
right.
growth.
But no God would ever say, go ahead, it's okay to rape women or children, it's okay to kill them, it's okay to do all these horrible all these atrocities. That to me is equivalent to what Hitler did.
Well,
when people say Donald Trump is Hitler, I go, you people are all following the wrong, you're going the wrong direction here, people.
Well, they're poor students of history, because if they were better students of history, they would also look at what happened in World War II with Japan and how awful the Japanese soldiers were to their captives, to their wards. And it all came down from their theology, which was, I am not even worthy of the emperor. I, as a Japanese citizen, am not worthy of the emperor. The emperor is everything. You are an enemy of the emperor. You're less than nothing. nothing. So it's the same kind of thing. I am a Muslim, you're an infidel. They even have that word. You're an infidel, and as an infidel, well, you don't have any rights. You're subhuman. And so therefore, it's okay to take a subhuman person and traffic them. They sold those young girls, Boko Haram sold those young schoolgirls, or to shoot them because they disobeyed you. Well, because they're not, they don't have any rights. They're subhuman.
No, but it strikes me that Islam is more of a cult than anything else, and that would be my choice of words. It's a cult. And so I had a very difficult time. I've been trying for months to actually find someone who is Muslim who would be willing to come on the show and debate me and answer why are we not hearing from the Muslim community that claims they're not radicalized and that they are all about peace. I can't find anybody that wants to be on the show. Why do you think that is?
In my opinion, well, this is not opinion. Again, I am entitled to opinion, but facts are facts. The fact is, in the Islamic religion, you cannot criticize their religion. Even if you have a legitimate concern, you cannot say it. That's against the religion. That's blasphemy. And so therefore, it's a great way of controlling whatever the dialogue that comes out of that group of people. So for them to come forward actually identifies how afraid they are of their own community.
Yeah, but no religion should be based on fear.
But that's what it is. It is based on fear. And also, they say, well, legitimately, you can't read the Quran unless you read it in its original text. So that narrows down to a very small group of people that are now saying, well, this is what it means, this is what it says, and they can pretty much say whatever they want. I mean, they talk about it being a peaceful religion. Well, even a moderate imam was giving wife beating tips, okay, on his radio show, and they call him a moderate. There was another imam in 2015 that came out and said, well, you know, according to the Quran and what I've been reading, if you're a little short on food, it's okay to eat your wife. That's okay, because that's in the Quran. You know, and so here is what is going out there. And these are, again, if somebody ate their wife and wanted to be a refugee.
Who's coming?
It's all good, you know?
Yeah, it's basically a circle.
He wouldn't have any, would be perfectly vetted. No black marks against him.
Oh my gosh, it's a circle of madness. It's you can't get off, they can't get off the hamster wheel with this topic. So when people go back and they say, oh, Donald Trump is like Hitler, it's almost to me like a throw off. Like they're trying to block the truth rather than go by someone's opinion, which is actually more the reality of the situation. And again, it doesn't necessarily have to do with religion in that case. It has to do with the security issues of you in the United States, because if you don't think they're already here, they are. We're all just basically waiting to see where's it going to happen. And what's really more disturbing is they're not going for hard targets necessarily. They're going for the soft targets. They're, you know, the airports, the shopping malls. It's going to happen at a sporting event, right? Like it just happened in Paris not too long ago.
They're very spontaneous. One guy, he was in a manufacturing job and he just decided he was going to stab his coworker in the neck, you know,
right,
for Allah. And she was just sitting there, I don't know, being a woman, I guess, and she got stabbed in the neck. You know, you got to listen to who's complaining, okay? Because a lot of them who will go on about how unjust it is, well, how much money do you make? Are you one of these people that are on the federal contracting pay gravy trains that are making thousands and millions, actually, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars to bring these people in, and are you the one, you know, are you connected with that? Then you look at, okay, there's a twofold reason why, in my opinion, these people are being brought in. First of all, you know, corporations will say, we look at Marco Rubio, and when he got elected in South Florida, he says, you know, I'm going to really look into immigration. I'm going to be tough on it. Next thing you know, he's on the Gang of Eight. He's spearheading bringing in what he calls HB1 visas. HB1 visas, and these HB1 visas are for the science, technology, engineering, and math, okay? And all we have are the testimony of these corporations that are saying, we can't find anybody. Well, it's like saying, well, I can't find a doctor. I'm paying paying $20,000, but I can't find any doctors to work here in my hospital. I'm paying $20,000. Well, some of their bills are like over their monthly, bills for their degrees are over that. Right. You're not going to find anybody at that.
Nope. Well, I want to thank you. You're going to have to come back and do another show with me because, you know, we can do a lot of shows here. And hopefully I will find someone, you know, who's interested in being on the show to give me, you know, the opposite opinion. That's what I'm looking for because we're trying to get to the truth. So thanks for joining me. Listen to us again next week on The World of Lori Zook. And thank you, Sheila. And thank you, Lee.
At the Oaks of Clearwater, you'll enjoy a lifestyle to fit your needs. From independent living, assisted living, memory care, and skilled nursing. Our exciting independent lifestyle is the perfect combination of freedom, comfort, and security. Enjoy total independence with peace of mind. Our independent lifestyle includes chef-prepared meals in our beautiful waterfront dining room, a continental breakfast, all utilities, including cable and telephone, housekeeping with linen service, scheduled transportation, including trips for shopping, local restaurants, theater, and more. Our activities program is second to none. At the Oaks of Clearwater, you'll enjoy affordable luxury waterfront senior living with a million-dollar view. Call today, 727-445-4069, and discover where caring, compassionate service really makes the difference.